This podcast was created to create an open, transparent, shame-free zone where we talk about money, questions, however small or complex that they may be, to help Canadians with their financial decision-making. We've talked about a lot of things, from education savings plans to should you save, should you apply to debt, real estate, passive income, and everything in the middle. So we thought today we would have a special guest who is an expert at sifting through the noise when it comes to making financial decisions and considering all the things that are applicable to you, because sometimes it's really hard to make decisions when you don't even know what questions to ask. So, Shay, welcome to the podcast. Tell us a little bit about you and your background and who you work with.
Hi. Right now, physically, my background is a tiny house. So, my name's Shay. I am a dog mom. I don't have any human children. I worked at the bank for lots and lots and lots of years, like I think almost 20 years. No, over a dozen years. I've been in the industry for almost 20 years, more than 20 years. It's scary how I've been doing this. And I got to a point in my banking career where I had a job that was actually made for me. And I got frustrated because I couldn't help people who I felt like really needed the help. And that was a lot of people kind of my age. Mm-hmm. So I got learning about how I could offer things in the industry. And now I've been working for myself as an independent advice only financial planner and money coach since 2018. Just passed my 6 years.
Woo-woo!
That's awesome.
So my business name now is called In Balance Financial Planning. And I think I needed to have balance in the name somewhere, because I do believe that's really important when it comes to a lot of things in life, but especially money. If you don't have balance, it's whatever you're doing is not going to last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I think that's true about it. Like everything from fitness to health to money to, and balance can be so difficult to achieve when you don't know what it is that's making you feel out of alignment. Like, you just know you feel stressed, but is it because you're not on track compared to your peers? Is it you have more debt than you're comfortable with? Is it that you're spending more than you're making? Like, it's so difficult to kind of pinpoint sometimes what is that actual point of friction.
Yeah. So I was in Thailand, had a chat with a monk. He talked about balance a lot. And then I got a balance tattoo on my forearm because that's how much it hit me that day. So that's where it started. And here I will continue to go and live it. Right. I do feel like I have balance now in my life because I've chosen to live in a tiny home, not kind of a traditional home. And that gives me a lot of balance when it comes to life and work. And certainly finances are a part of that.
I love talking about balance when it comes to money specifically, because I feel like it's a little bit more of a tangible item in our life. Versus time or health or things that, and I don't know about you guys. I know for me, like, even the idea of trying to achieve balance in my life stresses me the you know what out, because it feels so freaking unattainable at this stage of life. Like, we were joking before we hit record that, like, oh, yay, Lindsay got dressed today. pat on the back. I'm not in my pajamas while we're recording. Because some days when, you know, the kids and the dogs and the pantry, like, everything needs your attention, some days it is so hard. But I feel like money it might not always work out. Like the math doesn't always math, but it's something outside of ourselves. It's something tangible that I can look for a new calculation, a new strategy, a new idea to find balance where I don't always feel like I have that control over the clock or my, how much I'm sleeping or the other areas that, oh, I would so love to have balance.
Yeah. And Megan, you're big on, being able to tell people they can spend money, mm-hmm. right? It's not just about, I think that's what a lot of people think we're going to say to them as kind of financial planners and advisors is to say like, you have to save, you can't spend anything. You have to eat like rice and beans and whatever. And Megan, I've heard you talk about that before, about striking the balance there.
Yeah. Well, I think it also, by giving people the permission slip that you have to live your life too. We're not in, you can't, no one can be in a constant state of deprivation for long mm-hmm. periods of time without it causing some form of stress in another way. Mm-hmm. And so I think having that conversation of you're a human being, like as much as some financial content wants you to act like a robot, you're not. And so you got to be comfortable in states of discomfort sometimes, and you're going to move through different stages and phases of life, and it's okay. You know, so you went over budget. It's okay. You got a long life ahead of you, hopefully. So don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. Just take action today. What's your next right step for today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, by having that conversation of, you know, it's okay to spend money. Also, like I spend money and I make mistakes all the time. It almost creates a more shame-free zone where it's like, just because I'm here, I have a little bit more knowledge maybe than some other people. It's like, I make mistakes too. Like, let's talk about them. There's absolutely no question that you should be embarrassed about or a financial decision that you want to, you know, hide from me.
Well, I think that's what people have experienced though in the past is the shame. Like when they've tried to seek advice out in the past, and let's be honest, as Canadians, a lot of places where we've gotten our advice is from the bank, right? If it's not from friends or family, which can also be filled with shame.
Yeah.
When you go into the bank, there's a lot of like you've gone into the office, you're sitting across from someone in a suit and they've told you, you know, no, you can't do this, or you have to, you know, do it this way and so much. And so I think that's why a lot of people are scared to actually reach out to people like us, because they don't want that experience again. And I actually just talked to someone the other day who hopefully I'll get a chance to work with. And she resonated with my website when I said, look, it's a shame and judgment free zone. And she, and her version of shame was, she said, we eat out a lot. Mm. And so it's like, well, okay, that doesn't mean you don't have to eat out a lot. We just need to understand what's going on. And if that's something that you value and it's enhancing your life, then we're going to keep that. And we're going to talk about how you can find balance. Let's bring it back to balance with that. So
absolutely. Like I'm not promised tomorrow. I'm going to have the best time that I can right now. And so I'm curious, from your perspective, you know, really focusing on balance, where does that balance come from? How do I live for today and make sure I can afford to retire one day and like maybe throw my kids a few bucks for university? Like what does that often look like in your conversations?
I think the first thing that I'm always going to dive into when I work with clients is really understanding the foundation of their lives when it comes to money, and that's cash flow. And it seems so
boring.
Right? I'm not going to talk about how you can earn 12% rate of return doing this. I pride myself on being boring when it comes to my money strategies for clients. I think that if your money is boring, then your life can be exciting. right? Especially when it comes to like investments. If your investments are boring, your life can be exciting. But I think having a clear view of things is the first way that I can help people get balance. And like, let's be honest, especially right now with the way things are in our country, just in the world, everything, it's getting harder to achieve these things when the cost of living is as high as it is, when housing prices are so high, and you know, maybe work is harder to come by and all of that. Like there are some fundamental things that are definitely quote unquote above my pay grade to solve for. But I think there are a lot of people out there who just feel like they're not, like that they're unbalanced because they just don't know their situation. They haven't taken the time to look at it. I think people avoid it, their head in the sand, and
kind of throw a blindfold on.
Yes.
And you will feel unbalanced, even if you are perfectly balanced. If you are blind to what's around you.
I love that analogy. If you're trying, like, or if you're in yoga doing a yoga pose and you close your eyes, how much harder is it?
Totally. Always.
That's always. It. I'm using it now.
Check Shay's website next week and that'll be on there.
So that's going to be the first step is like really gearing back and slowing down. And especially if I'm working with a couple, is getting both people involved as well and driving conversations and trying to find some common page that they can see or get to. They don't ever have to see the same on everything. I don't think that they will, like couples with money. But if you're going to start looking at things as a household, there will be some kind of household planning to do.
I just started laughing at like couples with money about like whether or not they would see it. I was like, or couples with kids or dogs or even couples with plants. Just couples in general, you're not going to have the same perspective as your spouse about your plants.
And
why do we try to live with other human beings? I don't know.
That's why I tiny house by myself. And if I ever have a partner, he's going to have a tiny house right next to mine and maybe we'll have a joining deck.
Oh, follow Shay for more life tips. Oh God. Yes.
So again, like coming into balance with how I'm working with people as well is especially if they've gone so long with their head in the sand or with their blindfold on, I like to be high engagement. Like I call my program like a 12-week program. And it's going to be, you know, some work. Like you're not going to get to a place that is going to feel better from a financial standpoint or from money is involved in so many things, but if you don't put work into it. So I think there is the balance of never looking at it and then maybe looking at it as much as you might with the way I have designed kind of my business to work with clients. But again, that's a balance from nothing to a lot. And then you can kind of level out after there. I meet with people in 12 weeks, I think it's 7 times. And there's stuff that we're going to do in between each of that. And that's on purpose. Right. There needs to be buy-in from kind of the clients or from the couples, and there needs to be work that they do. I can't do it all for them, but I strike a balance. Oh my gosh, someone's going to make this into like a drinking game. Every time I say balance, you're going to have to take a drink. balance of, and now I don't even know what I was going to say about balance. There is about, so here it is, it's back, I've got the thought back, a balance of them doing things on their own, and when I say them, I'm like the client, the people I'm working with, and me guiding them. So I'm not going to do everything, they're not going to do everything. We have this kind of like a partnership almost in that 12 weeks.
Well, and I think that is sometimes exactly what people need. They need somebody to tell them, this is your next right step. Go and try it. And unfortunately, it's not some really exciting, advanced, all the gurus are talking about it thing. It's the basics, like we're going to talk about your budget, which is like not everybody's favorite thing to do, but we can't
use the word budget. Budget's a bad word. I don't like it.
Okay. Well, no matter what you use for the word, it is what it is. But we have to start with the basics so that we can get to the intermediate and the advanced. Like, you can't go from Pee Wee League to the big leagues. You got to go all the way through the process. And
what do with your baseball analogies.
I know. Look at me. I don't know. I don't really know what that
means. We've been hanging out a while.
Yeah.
But it is. It's like I'm going to hear what you have to say. I'm going to hear your story. I'm going to look at your stuff. I'm going to give you some next right steps. And then we're going to meet back and I'm going to be your sounding board. You're going to tell me how did it feel? How did it go? How many fights did it cause or eliminate? Like, and so that you can help guide them, because although the process can be the same for everybody, the way they go through it can feel very different, whether you're single, whether you're doing things as a couple, you're two separate people, you have maybe some baggage when it comes to, you know, money. So I think that's a perfect way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And well, I think that everyone should invest and take some time in learning about their money and setting up processes and working with a professional. There are some people who just aren't necessarily ready for that. They're like, I just have a couple of questions that I want answered. And even if I can see that and go, yeah, but you still, like, there's other things that we need to help with. If I don't meet people where they're at, they're not going to get anywhere. So, well, yes, I want people to come in, spend at least 12 weeks with me, then maybe continue on working with me or then maybe not. I do have like a 75-minute session where it's like, come with whatever questions that you have. This agenda is driven by you and I'm just going to be, help sift through the noise, which you tried to say unsuccessfully at the start of this podcast.
Thank you for pointing that out, Shay.
Where I can just help people get some clarity kind of right then. Is that the solution for them long term? I don't think so. But like, sometimes you just have to stop the perceived bleeding before you can go in and do surgery. Can I do medical analogies now?
We love the analogies.
We'll take them. Goat analogies, medical analogies, whatever, baseball, anything works. I love I just thought of when you were talking was that you're like the reformed banker.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because bankers, whatever that word means to people, like people who work in the bank, they are very much I have a hammer, so you must have the nail, right? So like trying to jam everything through their process. There's no meeting you where you're at. And I can remember my first experience with not meeting a client where they were at. They came in, I don't even know, a bazillion years ago, they came to me and they really wanted an RESP. And I was like, but that financial planning pyramid says we have to do life insurance first. And my manager wouldn't let me do the RESP because it wasn't going through the process and starting with insurance on the bottom of that financial planning pyramid. And guess what happened? They went somewhere else and opened up their RESP because that's what was keeping them up at night. They were like, dude, can you just listen to me? I just want to flip an RESP. And if I had done the RESP and built that relationship, guess what would have happened? They would have had the insurance that they needed. If I don't even know they needed insurance, that manager was so I'm a hammer, you're a nail mentality. And the industry is just not designed to meet people where they're at because they can't make money in a chit chat conversation, hearing you out, having an opportunity to sit with somebody and be heard is like so uncommon. And clearly you can tell something that I'm really passionate about. I just can't stand that. And I think for us, like, we've all worked places where it is, you know, follow the process, do it my way. I need to check these boxes because I'm going to have a review in 3 months with my supervisor and they're going to look and see if I did the right stuff. Yeah. I don't care where you're at. Like, oh yeah, you're the reformed banker.
Yeah. Well, and those performance reviews with your manager wasn't about, like, did you give people the best advice that you could give them? It was, what did you sell? Right. How many, like when I was at the resale branch, like how many visas or how many referrals to this person or how many like mutual fund accounts did you open? When, how am I supposed to be able to tell someone how much they need in an emergency fund or how much they should be putting away when I have no idea what their cash flow is? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't. And so I realized that I've chosen a harder path because asking people to pay for advice, so asking people for money to talk about money is really hard. One is hard for me because I'm a crap salesperson, I'm selling myself. Like, that's even worse than selling a product, right? I am the product. It's, you know, there certainly are people where the things that they need help with, like maybe they don't have the free cash flow to pay for me. And like, that sucks. I get it. I wish I could work for free. As much as my house is paid for, like I still have expenses. And so it's difficult. And I'm not selling like a thing, right? Like if you think of an iPhone, like someone pays money or pays a little bit less than a payment plan, like for something, they get it. How much is being able to sleep at night because they've had really good conversations with their partner about how they protect their family? Or like, how much do divorces cost? Like, I don't know if I've ever avoided a divorce, like helped a couple avoid a divorce, but I do know that I've changed relationships because I encourage people to have conversations with their partner about money. Mm-hmm. And like, money is a huge reason for divorce. I don't know the stats, but so like, how much is that worth? I don't know. And I don't like paying a lawyer bill. I don't like paying an accountant bill, but those are things that I know that I need to spend money on. And mm-hmm. that's how I've chosen to help people. And like, sometimes it really sucks, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I can save people immediately the cost of the engagement, you know, one recommendation, it works out. It's certainly not always like that. I know I always provide value, but that becomes a trickier thing to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that's really hard because it isn't immediate. It's not like I can go in and I give you funds and you immediately invest it for me. I can see it on my dashboard. I log in. It's visual. Mm-hmm. It can go up and down and whatever, but it's that you're planting the seeds so that they have better tools to be able to make financial decisions. And they have somebody to lean on when they have questions that they don't have to repeat themselves 8 million times to be able, like, that's the other thing. It's like, this person knows you, not mm-hmm. just your financial situation, but you, your personality, the way that you like to be talked to, maybe some struggles that you've overcome that they can remind you, you've been here before, you're going to get through it again. And honestly, that's invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a client the other day and I've been working with, they're a couple, and he just said, like, I don't know where we would be without you. And actually they're not, like, there are a couple who are more in the like paying down debt phase, but they've gotten married. They bought a house since I've worked with them. And, sometimes I'm like, am I providing the value that they need? And when I question myself and then they turn around and say, like, I don't know where we would be without you. Like, that's huge. Mm-hmm. So I also need to remember sometimes that, like, even if I don't see certain things, right? Like, they keep challenging my advice sometimes, or like not doing the things, and we talk about that, and that's fine. So I don't see them implementing some of the things that I'm recommending, so I feel like I haven't done a good job, in air quotes. Mm-hmm. And then they turn around and say that to me, I go, oh yeah, what I'm providing isn't just reflective on a cash flow statement or on a net worth statement, right? It's a lot deeper than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think one of the things that keeps coming up in these podcasts is the idea of doing something, like actually just like take some action. And I think that if we were to think about it in a way that's, you have so many options available to you, you know, save, pay off debt, so maybe you had more advanced strategies. And instead of actually trying something or doing it, you're not, because you don't have enough knowledge to do it, confidence, whatever that barrier is. And so now you're doing research, you're asking your neighbor, your cousin's brother, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, so if you would have just come and got some real good advice 12 months ago, how much further ahead? I bet way more further ahead than the fee.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, in our, like, in the financial planning, personal finance space, like, I love that you're doing these 90-minute sessions, because it's rare in our space. Mm-hmm. No, you do 75-minute sessions. We do 90-minute sessions. That's where I got that from. You do 75-minute sessions. And I mean, there's more and more fee-only planners out there. But we all know, general public doesn't, we all know what it takes to put together like an actual financial plan. Like, it takes hours and hours and hours and hours. It is a big flipping deal. So fee-only financial planners, like, what are some of the rates that you guys have seen to have a financial plan put together? Like,
$3,000, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're listening right now, like, that is what it costs to have a fee only financial plan done, somewhere between $3,000 and $15,000. Mm-hmm. And when we started offering sessions that are similar to yours, we found that, like, not everybody is at the place that they are ready to spend that money. However, it doesn't mean that they don't want help or advice or somebody to just look at some, you know, some different strategies with them and bounce some ideas around with and get a bit of help, right? And so if you're not willing to spend $3,000 to $5,000, what do you do if there isn't a session like yours? You go to somebody who works on commission, which that doesn't mean that they're evil monsters, but it does mean that their free analysis, their free consultation, that is a free sales pitch. If mm-hmm. they don't sell you something, it's going to be hard for them to feed their children. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't make them evil. That just means that they are going in with a certain objective, a certain bias or perspective. Yeah. Well, they and have so your session is like right in the middle. Like, it's affordable and it's awesome and it's valuable. And if somebody's not ready to spend thousands of dollars on a full plan, or maybe they don't, lots of people don't need that. They just need something to, like, bridge the gap. I love that you're doing those sessions. It makes me
so happy. I love meeting new people and seeing new things, and like, they're new puzzles for me. And so my brain really enjoys that as well. So, like, what's holding me back? I actually had thought one time about creating my business almost like a, like, my friend is a therapist. So I'm like, oh, I wonder if I should just do that. Like, you know, she started her business and is, you know, fully booked and has waitlists and great. And I was almost there, but again, same, it kind of turned into more than just that. So I said, let's just make it easy, right? Mm-hmm. Keep it simple. It's not that deep. We're just going to do it right now. So
good. So good.
Okay, cool.
Need it.
Okay. We'll put a link to Shay's website in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And to wrap up the podcast, I'm going to ask you both, what piece of content are you listening, watching, reading this week?
I keep checking. I'm still going to call it Twitter, just like it's still the Sky Dome. I keep checking Twitter for Kate. I can't help it. I can't.
Where is she? What is she?
I need to know. I need to know.
It's material. It has a significance in our lives. Mm-hmm. I forgot all about that piece of content.
So Shay, what's your theory? Where do you think she is?
Tell us.
Well, so I just at first maybe thought it was some, you know, was some medical thing that kind of went wrong. I was like, oh, maybe she's getting a mommy makeover. Leave the woman alone, right? Yeah. Then you say, oh, well, then she like canceled engagements and all this. And then there's like the thing, you get the whole like cheating rumor and like issue. And then it goes like, oh, I can't even. And so I'm like, I don't want to go down this hole. Just tell me where she is.
Yeah. And if you're listening, we're recording this on the 22nd of March. So I hope that by the time this gets published, I hope that the mystery has been solved, because the three of us clearly are not sleeping at night.
Yeah. In 2024 too. So if you're listening to this podcast and like, you know, in 2028, because I know it will still be around and I will have guested on it.
I mean, I originally thought that like, okay, let the woman have a hysterectomy. Like seriously, right. Leave her alone. They did say that she would not be back until after Easter. All of this is out there and upfront, and we shouldn't expect her to be back until after Easter. Anybody who is being ridiculous. However, the fact that they're not saying anything and they're allowing this to continue to stir into this worldwide frenzy makes me think that this is a sleight of hand. There is something like, is the king dying? Or what are we, why are we looking at her? What don't they want us to look at? There is something, and I don't think it's about them. I think if it was about William and Kate, I think they would have come out and covered it up. I think it's something else. I think this is sleight of hand. We are looking at her so we don't look somewhere else. I just don't know where we're not supposed to look yet. I haven't gone down those rabbit holes too much, but maybe the king is dying. Like maybe.
My life is boring because this is what I care about.
No.
I just wanted to make sure.
Megan and I are like, don't say that because that's what we care about.
That would mean we're boring. Wait,
we
what?
Take that personally. what do you think?
I thought we were supposed to get an announcement on Wednesday. Like, why? All of our TikTok.
Maybe I should check it.
No, we would know.
We would know by now.
We would know.
All the alerts that we've set up for ourselves, they would have gone off by now.
What got me into this, Megan, is Vivian K.
Oh, Vivian K.
Okay. She's big into it.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure to get my updates from her going forward then, because it's so difficult to get lost in the noise of not only the timeliness. Because that's the other thing. You're on social media, you're scrolling through TikTok or wherever you're getting this. Like Shay said, she's on Twitter. I've been going on TikTok and I was watching things and it was like, wait, this is old. No, we've already addressed that. Like this is, no, move forward. I need to look at like, yes, 1 minute ago's new update.
That's right.
I do think maybe there is, I agree with you now that you've said it. If it wasn't about them, then we would be shifted in terms of like, if it was about them, they'd be talking about so-and-so dying or some other scandal about so-and-so.
It's not about her health. That's what I believe. It's not about her health. That's my take on it.
I think it's about them too. And I think she's finally like done. And she's like, nope, I'm not doing that. Oh, you need me to do that? No.
Yeah. Oh no, they're already looking for a tiny house village for her, Meghan Markle and Harry and all their kids. Like, I know what's happening.
I love it. To all those who have left the royal family. Interesting. I almost want to be taking some bets here.
Also, just a question. Will our money ever change? Or do you think the queen will now always be on our money?
I think she'll always be on the money. You think it's going to change?
Yeah.
The $20 bill? Wait, when is she on?
She's on everything.
She's on everything. The king will be on.
She's on all our
bills. I bet they're the new stuff that they're minting right now. I bet the king's on it.
You don't think they're going to keep her on some of them?
Nope.
Mm.
No, I don't. I think that long term, like she might be there as like a historical piece, but I think the king will mostly replace her. I think that they would look at that as a disrespect to the king if we continued to mint things with the king.
I don't want to spend money for us to change all of our like molds and stuff to make a friggin' toonie with someone else's face on it who is already old.
Well, think about how often they change those molds to like make all the, you know, the things with like, I don't know, okay, skating penguins on them.
Yeah, skating.
I don't know. I guess it would be like skating loons. Let's be real. We're in Canada. We don't have penguins here. We would never put that in on our money, but we would put a skating loon, a figure skating loon. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Have you guys ever been to the Canadian Mint? What's it called? The Royal Canadian Mint?
No, I live an hour away. And I think I've been to the museum. That was ages ago, though. I used to row at the Ottawa Rowing Club, and it kind of went right in front. I drove past the mint to get there, and apparently there was, like, money and stuff in the water, but I never saw it.
Yeah, I've never been there. I think that would be a fun place to go.
I think they're going to keep her on there.
You think so?
Because there's guys on other ones. I think they'll just add him to one of those other ones.
What about our coins, though, with the queen on the back? I think that's what I'm referring to more specifically, because the bills have all sorts of
images
on them, right? Of all sorts of people. But like the coins, like that queen is
she's not on everything. Even when they have like special edition, it's there on the back. So.
Like I say, I have a feeling that that would be like a disrespectful thing.
And maybe if people are listening to this, it's already been changed and they know.
Blast from the past happening here. Okay, well, we'll have to find out.
Maybe that's why they haven't changed it yet.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's dead.
Dun, dun, dun. He's already dead. All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out this morning. It's been a blast.
I hope you'll be back. It was super fun.
Okay.
You qualified to come back. We will invite you back. I'm sure our listeners will agree that that's a good one.
Okay.
Thanks for spending your time with us today.
If you heard anything that piqued your interest, check out the show notes because we probably have some extra deets or links down there.
Your homework for today: go talk to someone about your money, either your spouse, your kids, your coworker, or a licensed professional.
And if you don't like those humans today, we're always talking in Lindsay's Facebook group, Black is the New Red. So join us over there. Head over to Facebook, type in Black is the New Red. You'll see so many amazing, like-minded individuals in there trying to get better, asking the right questions, supporting one another.
We look forward to hanging out with you again on your next dog walk or while you watch soccer practice from the sidelines. Cheers! Mm-hmm.